Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, in Xfinity Studios at Winter Park with producer Nate Vaughn by my side, and we are here to talk about the Vikings and their upcoming game against the Detroit Lions. Let's reset everything for you now that we're later in the week. The Vikings coming off of a victory against the Kansas City Chiefs last weekend, 16-10. They won the game at home. The defense and Blair Walsh guiding the Vikings to a victory with a few highlights along the way from Stephon Diggs and the passing game. The Lions also riding high and coming into this matchup after a victory. They defeated the Chicago Bears in overtime. Another aspect to this matchup, it's a rematch. The Vikings and Lions obviously play twice every season, and this will be the second Vikings-Lions game. The Vikings defeated the Lions in week two, 26-16, on a day dominated by Adrian Peterson.
I formation on third and short. Teddy from under center, back to pass, flips it to Adrian, sprints out to the right with some room. Adrian's to the 30, he's to the 40, into Lions territory, looking for a block to the 30, and he walks out of bounds at the 22-yard line. On third and short, Bridgewater looked like he was sacked. Instead, he flipped it to Adrian Peterson, who took it 49 yards.
What's amazing about Adrian's performance that day? He says he wasn't even at his best. Adrian was the Vikings' leading rusher and receiver on the day, and on that 49-yard reception, the highlight that you just heard, where Teddy was under duress, spotted Adrian at the last second, flipped it to him, and then Adrian took off for 49 yards. You remember at the end of that play, Adrian did not look like himself, did not have that breakaway speed that we're used to seeing from him. Adrian pointed that out while meeting with reporters yesterday, says that now he's got his wind and now he's more like what he was, and that makes you wonder what kind of game might be in store for Adrian this weekend. He has a history of performing well against the Lions. That continued in the Vikings' Week 2 victory, and we hope it continues on Sunday.
Do you feel like you're a different player than the last time you faced them, even though it was just Week 2? It's kind of hard to gauge in a short amount of time.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I'm a totally different player. I'm a better player than I was Week 2 when I played those guys. So I'm even more excited about that because I don't know what they're thinking over there, but I know what I'm thinking. And you know, I don't feel like my best foot was forward when we played those guys last. So, I think this will be an opportunity to put the best foot forward.
The Detroit Lions get off the schneid last week. They were 0-5 going into that division game against the Bears, but they took care of business at home. Matthew Stafford threw for 16,000 yards in the overtime victory. Not really that many. That would be a record. It was 400 and some, but he dropped back 50 times in that game. Now, the Lions were able to run the ball against the Chicago Bears, but really the story of the game offensively for the Lions was the passing game. It looked like the passing game we're used to seeing from the Detroit Lions with Matthew Stafford in the gun, dropping back and throwing the ball all over the yard to Calvin Johnson, who had a touchdown, to Golden Tate, to Lance Moore, who had a touchdown, to new tight end Timothy Wright, who had a touchdown. So these Lions are going to spread you out. They're going to put Stafford in the gun, and they're going to throw the ball all over and make you cover. That's what the Vikings will be up against on Sunday when they go to Ford Field to play the Lions, a Lions offense that is riding high after an overtime victory against the Bears last week.
My health is good. Everything got checked out right, and you know, we got the best organization here, and you know, and I'm happy to be back with my teammates, and they're happy to have me, and they showed a lot of love with text messages and calls, and you know, and I needed that, and you know, and I'm happy to be on this team and with my teammates, and you know, they love me and I love them back each and every day.
That is Everson Griffin. Looks like he's going to be back and in action this Sunday against the Detroit Lions after missing last week's game against the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, the defensive line still played well, even without Everson, against Kansas City, but this is a division opponent. This is the Detroit Lions. This is a team that the Vikings defensive line with Everson Griffin in week two completely dominated up front and hit Matthew Stafford a seemingly endless amount of times, battering and bruising him up, and that's what the Vikings defensive line, led by Everson Griffin, is going to look to do on Sunday. Now, they may be without defensive tackle Sharif Floyd, who's listed on the injury report with a leg injury. The Vikings could be without him. If they are without him, what does that mean? Well, it means Tom Johnson is going to start at defensive tackle. Tom Johnson, a guy who has been productive for the Vikings in a reserve/backup role, and a guy who I think will be productive for the Vikings in a starting role. Now, the Vikings may be without Sharif Floyd, and they will definitely be without Shamar Stephen at defensive tackle. He was placed on injured reserve this week, and that led to the signing of veteran defensive tackle Kenrick Ellis, who has played with both the Giants and the Jets in his NFL career, a third-round pick from a few years ago. Add him to the Vikings roster, and it wouldn't be surprising if the newest Viking, Kenrick Ellis, was active on Sunday, given some of the attrition that's going on at defensive tackle right now.
I mean, so it happened quick. I mean, you fly into town for a tryout, and next thing you know, a couple hours later, they offer you a contract.
That's this business, man. You know, you never know what's going to happen. You just have to roll with the punches.
Tell us about the kind of player you are.
I'm just a physical player. You know, I like to attack the line of scrimmage, try to run to the ball, have a high effort for a big guy, and usually that translates into the type of player I am. You know, I'm just going to work real hard for the Vikings.
Look at this line and the success they've had with Everson and Robinson and Sharif. How do you see yourself fitting in with that group?
I just want to be able to help out, you know, contribute any way I can. I don't know how I'm going to fit in. I just want to fit in. So I'm going to go out, work really hard, and we'll see how the chips fall.
Are you ready to play? If they say Sunday, we need you up, can you go?
Obviously, after knowing the playbook and knowing the plays and practicing the day, we'll see, man. I'm just happy to be here. First, I have to get the playbook right, and then we'll see how it goes.
But physically, you could go?
Yeah, I think I should be fine.
Offensively, it looks like Charles Johnson may be good to go after missing a few weeks with that ribs injury. He's back out on the practice field and looks good running all over the place. So I think he's going to be good to go for Sunday. And now that the Vikings appear to be healthy at wide receiver, it will be interesting to see the decisions that have to be made at that position. Do you keep all six receivers active? Is that too many for this game because you want to run the ball a bunch? And if it is, which receiver is inactive? Interesting decisions to be made here for the Vikings coaching staff going into the game on Sunday. A few other injuries to mention. Terrence Newman on there with that ankle injury he sustained last week against the Chiefs. You saw Trey Waynes and Terrence Newman rotating quite often with one another. You figure that's probably going to happen again this week, especially with how often Detroit will drop back to pass. TJ Clemmings on there. Adrian on there with a hand or a finger. Matt Asiata is on there. But I think aside from the defensive tackle issues that the Vikings are having right now, a team that's fairly healthy, and that's good news. The Lions, on the other hand, not so healthy. Their best tackler is DeAndre Levy. He's not going to play in this game. They're banged up at tight end. Haloti Ngata has missed a couple straight games, although he's been back on the practice field, so that's good news for them. Their second best defensive lineman is Tyron Walker. He's out for the year, so the Lions are definitely dealing with some injuries. They had a bunch of starters missing last week, but maybe that week off has allowed them to be able to go against the Vikings this week. It'll be interesting to see how all of that shakes out for the Lions. Now, the 1-5 Detroit Lions does not sound like an intimidating opponent, right? But here's why you should not overlook the 1-5 Lions. We'll give you three reasons. Number one, the Vikings' track record on the road, especially within the division, is not very good. So as confident as the team may be off of playing two pretty good games against the Broncos and the Chiefs, they cannot overlook this opponent. The Vikings have one division road win since 2009. That one came in 2012. So while I am confident in the Vikings and I believe they can go into Ford Field and win, and I believe this is a Vikings team that can rack up some victories on the road throughout this season, they're not the team that can overlook opponents on the road yet. So that's the number one reason why you don't overlook this Detroit Lions team. Number two, the passing offense with Matthew Stafford. It seemed to be clicking last week. They have a lot of different weapons that they can go to. Golden Tate and Calvin Johnson are very good. And just when you've compensated enough to cover those two guys up, there goes Lance Moore on a 35-yard post route to the middle of the end zone for a touchdown, which is what happened last week against the Chicago Bears. I also like Theo Riddick out of the backfield as a receiver. He can be very good as well. And then thirdly, I think Haloti Ngata is going to play in this game. And to me, that makes a big difference for the Detroit Lions defense and for your offense when you're going up against them. The Vikings want to get the running game back on track after they struggled to run the ball last week. And having Haloti Ngata back in the game for the Lions does not make that any easier for the Vikings to do. So don't overlook the Detroit Lions defensive line. I know Tyron Walker is out. I know that Nick Fairley and Ndamukong Suh are gone. But it looks like Haloti Ngata is going to play. Ziggy Ansah is very good on the edge. Jason Jones is an underrated player. that Lions defensive front is not a pushover group. You can't just expect you're going to go in there and steamroll them. So the Vikings offensive line, coming off of last week's game over the Kansas City Chiefs, where the Chiefs gave them all they could handle, the Lions defensive line should not be overlooked. Okay, enough for now about Vikings and Lions. Producer Nate Vaughn has put together a couple of interesting pieces of sound for you to check out. The first, a story that kind of gained some traction nationally regarding the Vikings, is the Donut Club. It was done by the Monday Morning Quarterback, which is NFL writer Peter King's outfit now. They did a story on the Vikings Donut Club. So Kyle Rudolph, a proud member of the Vikings Donut Club, joined NFL Network's Dave Damashek to talk about the Donut Club.
All right. I've enjoyed listening to this guy Tibbetts with other people. By all accounts, he's a delight. Let's find out ourselves the star tight end for the Minnesota Vikings. It's Kyle Rudolph. What's the poop there, fella? How are you?
Yeah, not much. I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing better now that I see that you are a donut aficionado. Yeah, I've heard some stuff about this Vikings Donut Club. What's going on there?
You know, it's just really catching fire lately. It's a club that's been around for a few years, I believe, dating back to about 2008. And really the last couple years, it's grown quite a bit. And coming up this past week on our largest donut club ever. So, I mean, who doesn't like donuts on Saturday morning? So our head trainer, Eric Sugarman, provided us with these awesome T-shirts this year. And we're really stepping it up, becoming official, almost corporate.
Yeah, once you get a T-shirt, that really stamps it as valid for society. What is the best kind of donut? Kyle Rudolph.
I go with the Long John every week. So, you know, we get between 3 and 4 dozen donuts every week, and now it's growing so much that you don't really get to pick after your first one. So I make sure that I get my Long John every time, and then after that, it's just whatever is left.
Isn't it weird, though, that a Long John counts as a donut? Because really, by definition, a donut is a circle with a hole in the middle of it.
Right, like exactly what I got here on my T-shirt.
Correct.
I just can't go away from the Long John. It's what I've old reliable for me the last few years.
For me, it's the buttermilk without the hole in it. So, you know, I park my car in the same garage as you. My donut doesn't come with a hole to it.
Yeah, I mean, like we talked before on air, you can't really go wrong with any donut. So, you know, as long as you got donuts on Saturday morning, I'm going to be happy.
We will stick with our friends from the NFL and go to NFL Now for a Vikings-Lions preview from Mark Istook and Maurice Jones-Drew.
Hey, somehow we blinked and it got to week 7 already as we're getting ready for a Vikings-Lions matchup. MJD here. Yes. First, I want to set the record straight, MJD. I took a little heat on Twitter when we previewed the Lions.
I got your back, though.
I appreciate that.
I saw it.
Talked about the Lions game heading into week 6, and I mentioned the arguable call on the Cowboys matchup. Look, the Lions now have a win. Let's focus on the positive for this team. Can't sleep on the Lions despite their poor record so far because this is a team with some weapons. And, hey, had the Chicago Bears figured out a way to stop Calvin Johnson, maybe the outcome would have been different in week 6.
Well, that's what Minnesota has to do. They have to find a way to stop Calvin. If you don't stop Calvin, you're going to lose. And we saw that. 166 yards. This guy went on fire. He was on fire. 10 catches. I mean, the big play at the very end of the game right here, you see it, making a play. Stafford trusting this guy, throwing it down the field, using that big arm. This is who the Detroit Lions are. They're a prolific offense, throwing the ball around the yard. They take shots because they trust their outside receivers. They have to continue to do this in order to be successful.
Yeah, Vikings, as you see, with the 14th ranked pass defense in the league, maybe wanting to step it up a little bit when they take on the Lions. Meanwhile, on the Lions' side, how do you beat the Vikings?
You got to use this momentum. The magic that you captured on Ford Field, you have to be able to take it and use it against the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, to win that game at home was huge. It got you off the slide. You have one win. Use that momentum to keep going. You played well on defense. You played well on offense. Clean up some of the mental errors. They should be on the ready to roll.
Well, maybe the momentum is in the hands of their quarterback in Matt Stafford, who was told in week five, that, hey, look, you throw another pick, you're going to get benched. He did just that. He saw Orlovsky come in, who also did not play spectacularly well. Stafford on a roll after this game, you have to think.
Well, you have to. I mean, you throw for 400 yards. I mean, the guy had 4 touchdowns. He lit it up. He was on fire. Continue to improve on that. Take those chances when they present themselves, but don't be too careless with the ball. You'll have to protect the ball at all times. Again, get that running game going. That defense is playing pretty well.
Yeah.
Keep things up. I mean, I think it'll be okay.
Divisional matchup, who wins it?
Detroit. I have Detroit winning
2 weeks in a row. You're picking them.
I got them 2 weeks in a row, man. It's crazy.
All right, we're getting ready for week 7 and the Lions versus the Vikings.
MJD, come on, man. I mean, we respect MJD's opinion. He was a running back for a long time in the NFL, got the job done quite often, very productive for the Jaguars, then for the Raiders. But man, we respectfully disagree, and we hope that MJD is wrong about this one. He's right about a lot of stuff, Nate, but we hope he's wrong about this one. Okay, now, Lions Vox, Lions Radio play-by-play man Dan Miller, an awesome guy, very smooth at what he does. He joined us for this week's installment of the DraftKings Extra Point on Vikings game plan to give us his perspective on previewing this Vikings-Lions matchup.
All right, guys, the Lions have been through some tough times since we saw you last. They did manage to pick up their first win this past Sunday, and that was big because it allowed them to breathe a little bit and now set their sights on getting some consistency going. That won't be easy against the Vikings. Enough history here that everybody understands the type of challenge this is going to be. In the most recent game between the two teams, the Vikings really beat up Matthew Stafford. The offensive line has to be better, and the hope is they will after they put up their best effort of the year against the Bears. That allowed them to run the ball a bit, opened up the field, and they got some chunk plays. All of this has to continue if they want to win this game. They have been offensively challenged for much of the year, and while they showed some good signs against the Bears in putting up 37 points, this is a better defense they'll be dealing with on Sunday. On the other side of the ball, it's not hard to figure out. Every team looks to stop the run. That's even more important when you face the Vikings. Here's what the Lions didn't do last time. They didn't slow Peterson down. And they never forced Teddy Bridgewater to make plays where it was all on him. Key to success here in my mind, make Bridgewater uncomfortable. See if you can force a few mistakes. Now, that's every week in this league, but in particular when it's a young quarterback playing on the road. Special teams, very simple. You got two return guys that have both burned Detroit in the past. Winning this game will be hard enough without giving up a quick score off a punt or a kickoff. It's always fun playing divisional games. Big question around here, whether or not the Lions can put together two good ones back-to-back. Safe travels to all of you. Look forward to seeing you when you get here in the D.
Okay, we move right along here. We have more things to get to. Over-unders are coming up. Some final notes are coming up. But first, the regular installment on this episode of the Wobcast, the late week episode of the Wobcast, is three threats coming from the opponent. And to offer some of those up, we bring in producer Nate Vaughn.
Hi. Hi, Bobby.
Hello.
We're going to start with threat number one. We got to start with the quarterback, Matt Stafford. After being benched the week prior, comes back against Chicago and puts on an impressive performance. So Stafford is back to being good now. So that's why we have to watch out for him.
Yeah, and the thing with Stafford is he's a gunslinger, and he'll drop back 50 times in a game and throw the ball everywhere, and that's what he did against the Bears. 50 dropbacks. I went back and watched all of his passes, so this is how I know these numbers. 50 dropbacks.
On the All-22.
Yes, on the All-22, All-22 radio right now. 50 dropbacks, 42 passing attempts. He ran the ball 6 times and was sacked twice. So not really when you consider 50 dropbacks and only 2 sacks. That's not a bunch of sacks. And so I think you give credit to the offensive line for protecting him pretty well, but those 6 rushes are Matthew Stafford recognizing that nothing is open, pulling the ball down and running and picking up yards to salvage something on the drive. So Matthew Stafford is not just a statue who's going to stand back there and you're going to tee off on him. A little bit like we did with Phillip Rivers in week 3. So you got to watch out for him. He's a legitimate threat in this game. He has weapons that he can utilize outside of Calvin Johnson. He's got Golden Tate, who's sneaky good. He's got Lance Moore, who was productive last week. Ebron might be getting healthy enough to play. If he's not, they have Tim Wright, who they recently signed, who scored last week. I love Theo Riddick out of the backfield, and then your former Big Ten nemesis, Amir Abdullah, is pretty good out of the backfield as well. So this is not a Lions offense that is bare of offensive talent. This is a Lions offense that can throw the ball around and score points. And Matthew Stafford is the leader of that group, and quite frankly, while not a top 5-ish NFL quarterback, when it's going well for Mr. Stafford, it's pretty tough to stop.
One of those offensive threats he's getting the ball to a lot recently is Lance Moore. Remember him?
Yes.
From New Orleans, however many years ago.
Right.
For quite a while. He's in Detroit now, evidently, and he's catching a lot of passes. 106 receiving yards just last week. You talked about that long touchdown pass against the Bears. So we know about Megatron. We know about Golden Tate. But what do we do with Lance Moore?
Well, You know, Lance Moore operates a lot out of the slot, or at least that's what I saw last week. That's going to be Captain Munnerlyn who's going to be on him. Now, here's the good news. Captain Munnerlyn is coming off probably his best game as a Viking last week against Kansas City. Had two key pass breakups while defending Jeremy Maclin and just generally played well in the slot against the pass and against the run. Mike Zimmer's not afraid to send him on a blitz or two either. So that's the good news is I think from a personnel matchup standpoint, that's a good one for us. But with that being said, Lance Moore did have 100 receiving yards last week, as you've noted. And, you know, and as we broke down earlier in the week on that touchdown to him, just when you've done enough to cover up Johnson and Tate, you know, here's Lance Moore in man coverage on a post route, and Stafford lays it out to him in perfect position. So Lance Moore is a good route runner. He's used to playing with Drew Brees and Sean Payton. Now, those guys are less, hey, just throw it up to our best receiver, let him go get it. Those guys are more intricate route running, gain separation because of your route running, not because of your physical talent. That's what Lance Moore is. So you got to be buttoned up when you are trying to defend Lance Moore, and that's what Captain Munnerlyn is going to have to be this week.
Okay, and the third threat we're going to look at is Stephen Tulloch on the defensive side for the Lions, the big middle linebacker. He's played well against the run this year. We have a running back that we're probably going to try to use against them. Adrian had a good game against the Lions last time, so we'll see what Stephen Tulloch can do. But like I said, good against the run, a little bit of a liability so far against the pass. So do you think that's how the Vikings might attack him?
I think, yes. I think you've laid it out with Tulloch perfectly. Productive player, nuts and bolts, lunch pail, hard hat, you know, type of guy. Like just a glue that keeps the defense together.
Any other cliches we can think
no,
of?
No, I ran out of them. That was it. Used them all on Stephen Tulloch right there. Like he's not going to make the Pro Bowl or be named all pro or, Fox isn't going to do a fancy story or graphic on him during the broadcast, but he's just going to be in every play. He's just going to be around the ball all the time. And really what's key for him is Haloti Ngata playing because Ngata can gobble up those double teams and that frees up Tulloch to run around in the middle and make tackles. So, but I think what you want to do with Tulloch is make him run. He's a guy, he's a veteran, he's older, he's been dealing with injuries. I think you want to make him run throughout the course of a game and then have that war of attrition really work against Stephen Tulloch and Haloti Ngata as the game goes on and as Adrian gets stronger. I think that's what you want to do with him. But if you don't do that, Stephen Tulloch's going to rack up 13 tackles on you, which is what he did last week against the Bears.
All right, moving on to over-unders. The first over-under we're going to look at is quarterback knockdowns for the Vikings against Lions quarterback.
Appropriate on this one since the number was, I don't even know what it was in week two against the Lions, but it was probably a double-digit number.
Yeah, remember we were late posting the Wobcast.
Oh, yeah, because we were counting all of them up. That's right.
Yeah.
Gosh.
So, you know, only two sacks, I believe, against the Lions in that matchup, but I certainly Matthew Stafford felt the presence of a number of Vikings defenders.
Yeah, I can even remember 3-4 plays where he took a huge hit. Even though he delivered the pass, he took a huge hit, you know. And like I remember one sack that Brian Robinson had. Actually, it wasn't a sack because I think it was a 1 yard gain by Stafford. So like he took a huge hit from Brian Robinson and Robinson fell on him and I think it was a 1 yard gain. So it's not a sack, but it's a huge hit and that takes its toll on a quarterback over the course of time. So
we've talked a lot about Matt Stafford and his rushing performances. Are we looking at the next Cam Newton?
Next Colin Kaepernick. Yeah. Well,
for a new Matt Stafford.
If we turn him into that, we're going to win the game. Like if Stafford running the ball is like their best option, you know, like we're going
to
win.
Okay. So assuming we get to Matt Stafford a few times, we're going to put the over under at 5.5 knockdowns for the Vikings defense against Matt Stafford. What say you?
Over. I think this is over. Everson Griffin being back really helps. I really thought that I got the shaft last week on my sack total because Everson didn't play, and I was, I think, a half off maybe or one off, and I think Everson would have made the difference there. But Everson is back, so you can give him about 3, I think. Whether it's a sack or not remains to be seen. But Everson will get home. Sharif being out hurts, but I like Tom Johnson as a replacement. And I think we're going to get after this Lions team in terms of the pass rush. So give me the over on that one.
All right, over 5.5 QB knockdowns for the Vikings. Next, we're going to look at all-purpose yards for number 28, Adrian Peterson. Like you said, he was the leading rusher and receiver against the Lions earlier this year. So I'm going to put the over-under at 138.5.
Jeez.
All-purpose yards for Adrian Peterson. I mean, he had more than that the first game.
That's
right?
Fine. I need odds on this one, though. Jeez. I mean, over one. I mean, seriously, 138.5.
Well, let's look at it this way. What is he average rushing against the Detroit Lions?
120-something.
Okay. So that's almost that right
All
there.
All right. Fine. That's a good number. Do you know what I'm going to do?
What are you going to do?
Take the over. I'm taking the over on this. Listen, if Adrian can do what he did against the Lions and he didn't have that third gear that he normally has, just wait until you see what he's going to do with him now that he has the third gear, okay? And listen, everyone's given the Vikings offensive line a hard time for not being able to do better against the Chiefs, you know? So they're going to respond in a big way, and Adrian's going to rack up the yardage. Hopefully it leads to a victory. Over.
Over 138.5. All right. The final over-under, we're going to look at everybody's new favorite wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings, number 14, Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Obviously a very impressive two-game campaign so far this year.
216 receiving yards in two games.
Yeah. I mean, it's the best two-game rookie performance this side of Randy Moss. So
it's better than Randy's.
Well, there you go.
It's better than Randy's first two games.
Well, and Randy Moss turned out to be pretty good.
He's okay.
So.
Yeah.
I'm going to put the over-under for receiving yards for Stephon Diggs right at 99.5. So basically, you're going to tell me whether he's going to have 100 or less receiving yards.
Yep, and I'm going to go over. And he is going to become the sixth Vikings rookie wide receiver to have a pair of 100-yard receiving games in his rookie season. So that's going to happen this week.
In two of his first three games.
Yes, that's going to happen this week against the Detroit Lions. And, I'm just... On this one, it's like I'm going to go with a hot hand. Like what I've seen through two games tells me that he's going to do that this week. And I believe in the law of averages and all that and come back down to earth, that type of theory. I believe in all that, and that may happen here to Stephon Diggs, but not in this game. I think you go with a hot hand. I think Detroit's going to overcompensate to try and stop the run, and if they do that, I think that Teddy needs to take advantage of that. And to do that, I think if you hit Diggs a few times, you're going to go over 99.5 receiving yards. So I'm going to go over on that, which gives me three overs this week as I look for a pretty gaudy performance from the Vikings now that I look back on it. But, I mean, are you really that surprised? No, you're not.
No, I can't say that I am.
Right.
So according to Mike Wobshaw, we're looking at a final score of 43-3,
right.
I think, maybe. So yep. Lots of reasons to be excited, Vikings fans. This could be a good weekend for you.
The early week Wobcast next week will be a long one with lots of highlights in it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you should carve out some time on Sunday night and Monday morning. That is more time than you normally carve out to do the early week Wobcast production. Okay?
Sounds good. Right. I mean, if it's a win, I'll take it.
Now, all joking aside, you know, it's kind of fun. Maybe I have dual personality issues because, like... early in this Wobcast, I'm like, here's three reasons to not overlook the Lions. And now 2 minutes ago, I just basically said, you know, that we're the greatest show on turf with the 1985 Bears defense. I mean, so, you know, I don't know which, I guess the truth probably lies somewhere in between. Right. And, that's what
there's usually, a lot of in between ground. Yeah.
There is. Yeah. So, that's probably the case here. And, you know, this is a division game and it's on the road. So all joking aside, it's an important game for both teams, but it's an important game for the Vikings because, they have back-to-back division games on the road. Starts this week against Detroit, continues next week against the Bears. And then after that, they play the St. Louis Rams. So three straight NFC games. And when you're talking about the division race and the playoff picture and trying to chase the Packers, and if you don't catch them, you need a wild card. You know, tiebreakers come into play, and your record against NFC teams comes into play in that. So an important stretch of games here for the Vikings. And I think you'll agree, Nate, there are no easy games on an NFL calendar, but there are degrees of difficulty within games. And I think the degree of difficulty with the Vikings schedule is higher later in the season, particularly a four-game stretch where it's Packers, Falcons, Cardinals, Seahawks, I believe is the order that you go there, or it's Seahawks, Cardinals.
Vikings.com can confirm it's Packers, Falcons, Seahawks, Cardinals.
Okay, so that four-game stretch, to me, the degree of difficulty there, they're all difficult. Every four-game stretch you look at is difficult, but the degree of difficulty goes way up with that stretch of games right there.
And even so, after that, it's no easy road.
No, it's not. Yeah. And you know, you're gonna play the Bears again. You're gonna play the Packers again at Lambeau Field. You're gonna play the Giants late in the season. So yeah, it doesn't get easy. I'm just saying that four-game stretch there, the degree of difficulty there is high. So I think you want to collect some wins here, pad your record, so that when you go into that four-game stretch, and you hope you win all of them, but the games that you drop, you don't want them to be devastating to your season. And with a young team, you want to be able to have the coach say to his staff or to the players, you want to have Zimmer be able to say, our team learned from that loss. Like, we played a Falcons team or a Seahawks team that's going to the playoffs or a Seahawks team that's been to the last two Super Bowls. And yeah, we dropped that game, but we're still above 500. We're still in the playoff picture, and our young team learned from that game. You can't have that perspective if you're dropping games to the Lions, Bears, Rams, and Raiders, which is what's coming up for the Vikings. So an important stretch of games here for the Vikings. It began last week with a victory over the Chiefs, and you hope it continues this week against the Detroit Lions. All right, a couple of things to clean up before we go, Nate. For people who haven't been to the website, go there.
www.vikings.com.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
All right. Go there now, because you're going to see tons of cool stuff and you're going to see tons of informative stuff. But two things to look for. One, Teddy Wired. Teddy was wired by the Vikings Entertainment Network last week against the Chiefs. Go under the helmet and inside the huddle with Teddy Bridgewater, Wired versus the Chiefs last week. And then also a new feature that we do every week this season, 96 questions with B-Rob. A very cool, fun feature where B-Rob takes the microphone, goes around the locker room, and asks the same question to a bunch of his teammates. We compile the answers and present it in entertaining fashion.
That's something that a lot of the players are starting to look forward to every week too. Yeah. So it's that I think that alone is going to help it continue to be fun.
It's a fun way where they can call each other out, give each other a hard time, show their personality. Pretty cool. So go to the website, check out Teddy Wire, check out 96 Questions with B-Rob. And of course, if you haven't already, download the Vikings app, because those two pieces of content, plus everything else we do, gets delivered straight to your favorite mobile device. Download the Vikings app now. Thanks for listening to the Wobcast, everyone. We truly and sincerely appreciate it. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobschall. Until next time, talk to you later. So yeah, I start with